This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, top stories of the day. This one's interesting for Rockies fans, maybe. Bob Melvin, who just had his option picked up in July by the San Francisco Giants, was fired today. Giants were kind of streaky, off and on. Finished the season 81-81. But they moved on, not good enough. Is Bob Melvin a name the Rockies should consider? I mean, they were thinking playoffs about 2 months ago and then just kind of went crazy. They had a 13-3 run in late August into early September, and then they had a 2-9 stretch to end the season, as that completely finished their playoff hopes at that stage. So Bob Melvin, maybe a name to look out for the future of the Colorado Rockies.
I think for the Colorado Rockies, who just ended their season quietly, just sort of like
the Rockies,
they just backed into the season ending. I think anybody. And keep your eyes open for
anybody. Not Warren Schaefer. You don't want to stay the course with Warren Schaefer.
Not the way they ended the season.
Yeah, I mean, when you have a historic, pretty close, I mean, this is the worst season for the Rockies. It wasn't the historical number, but still the worst season for the Rockies. And is it three years now in a row that they've lost 100-plus?
Yeah.
I mean, sure, other teams have done that, but that's got to be in some bad history right there, too.
When they went on that little mini run in, I think it was in August.
That was the.
And we were all excited.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're like, yeah, hire this man.
Yeah.
And then after that, just boom, back to
yeah,
normal.
It got bad. Well, and you got to wonder, too, like for baseball players, when do you finally just mentally check out? Because you're playing every single day, and then you know, okay, the best we can do is maybe we can get to 50 wins. When does that start to just settle in, and you're like, yeah, on to a. You know, what was it? Cabo on three, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but every game is a new day.
What a bad year.
It's a new day.
What a bad year. Just awful. I tried to make it interesting with the beard thing. That seemed like a lifetime ago, doesn't it? It was fun. Fun to grow a beard out. I learned I could grow a pretty decent beard in my journey with that. So that was fun for me. I know I have that in my back pocket if I need it. Lamar Jackson did not look good yesterday. The Ravens did not look good. Their defense is bad. Derrick Henry does not look good. They lost to the Chiefs 37-20 yesterday. But it gets worse, Mike. The most electrifying man in all of sports and entertainment has a hamstring injury.
Jokic has a hamstring injury?
Lamar Jackson, Mike. Come on. Follow along. He left midway through the third quarter. After being sacked by Jordan Karlaftis, is that it? Laftis? Is that how you say it? Did not return. It really hurt my fantasy football team, which I know everybody cares about. Concerning for the Ravens, because you got things that they're typically really good at, which is defense and running the ball, and Derrick Henry turned back the clock last year, has not been good this season. I mean, so far, In four games, Derrick Henry, 284 yards in four games, three touchdowns, but three fumbles, three pretty crucial fumbles for him. So that's going to be a scary. Lamar Jackson might be out. Guess who would be starting quarterback if they would have wanted to go to Baltimore?
Oh, I wonder.
Yeah, guess who? Shedeur Sanders, who said he didn't want to go to Baltimore. He didn't want to go to Philadelphia. And Coach Prime doubled down on that because, you know, he didn't want to be a backup. You're not learning on the bench. You'd probably be playing this weekend if Lamar sits out. That's, I mean, running quarterbacks get hurt. Might not be for a long time, but they get hurt. When you are constantly moving and using your legs at a high clip, there's a darn good chance you're going to miss some action in a regular season.
Shedeur Sanders is perfect for the Cleveland Browns. This is a very Cleveland Browns decision of him to make.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. How dumb.
Yeah. Go back up Lamar, man. Be a part of a great organization for 4 years. And if you get time, in 4 years, Mike, I'd put money on it. In 4 years, Lamar Jackson's going to miss at least a handful of games, right? 4 or 5 games. That's just how it is. And then in that time, you could prove that you're the guy, get some tape out there, and suddenly it's like, yeah, the games he filled in for Lamar, they won.
Yeah, and, you know, you could do the whole Matt Flynn thing.
Yes.
Where Matt Flynn had that
7 touchdowns in one game.
Yeah, he had that one great game for Green Bay, and Seattle's like,
and then they drafted
a guy.
They drafted Russell Wilson, and that kind of went away. He won the job in camp. But you could do that. Same with Jalen Hurts. Yeah, it's crazy. Adam Silver, man. Adam Silver, the commissioner for the NBA. Talking about a bold vision for the future of the NBA that could see teams from other continents playing United States-based franchises in the regular season or even the postseason, in addition to its grassroots efforts in Europe and Africa and its NBA Golden Game series. The NBA is in the process of launching a new league in Europe that could begin play in 27 or 28, and it may not be long before international play pits European squads against existing American teams.
I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
I didn't like it when Canada got involved, but, you know, that's just...
I don't mind the league thing, but I don't want to see these teams in the playoffs, do I? I don't think so.
They can play for a little exhibition game.
They got to travel all the way over there. I mean, you know, Silver's talking about, well, you know, when you travel from New York over to California, it's like the same distance. And
no, it's not.
No. He said, we have something we call the NBA Cup, a mid-season tournament. You could imagine teams from Europe, potentially Africa, competing in that tournament. You could possibly see teams coming into our playoffs, top seeds from other leagues. Stop using the NBA Cup as some kind of title. You know, some kind of like, oh, well, we got the NBA Cup. That's so freaking good. We could make that kind of what the playoffs are. Stop tinkering with the NBA. The NBA Cup is stupid. This idea is also stupid. I don't like it. I mean, again, I like seeing a Joker-led Serbian team go up against Team USA. That's fascinating for me. But that's not what this would be. These would be no-name guys that you're not really following along now suddenly in your playoffs. Silliness. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Did you happen to watch Sunday Night Football last night, Michael? Dallas and Green Bay?
I listened to it on KFK's coverage of Westwood One's coverage.
Great job by you. Great, great promotion. We got Monday Night Football on tonight, too. We got
but
the Broncos
game. This will not
game.
Be Westwood One's coverage.
This will be
the Broncos Radio Network.
Broncos Radio Network. We're an affiliate, so we'll have that coverage for you tonight. There are two Monday Night Football games. Why are they basically at the same time? I don't know, but that's just, we do weird things now. We just don't always do the obvious. Like 2 weeks ago, they actually had a good one. They had it right. You start one game at like 4:30 and you start the next one at like 7:30 or whatever. Come on. It's not that hard. So big one tonight. But last night, the game ended in a 40-40 tie. Micah Parsons didn't really do much in that game, but he got the what they're calling a sack. I guess it was. Didn't look to be a sack. Either way, he saved what looked like a Dak Prescott storm into the end zone play that would have put the Cowboys up by 7, giving Green Bay a chance to rebuttal. But instead, you're forced to settle for the field goal. And then Green Bay gets the field goal, and then you got a tie. Michael, what are we doing here? The year is 2025, and we are still ending games in ties? College football has them on this one, guys. Start it from the, what do they start from, the 25 in college, Mike? Start them from the 25-yard line. Let them go back and forth. Yes, no. You like ending games in ties?
Well, if you're gonna do it that way, don't start it from the 25. That's college rules. You got to start it from pro rules. Make it the 35.
Okay, whatever. I don't care. Just do something different, because this is, you cannot end games in ties. This is a great football game that will not be remembered because it ended in a tie. Nothing was gained from this game. How about Javonte Williams? Playing some good football for the Cowboys. He looked good last night. He's looked really good. He needed a change of pace. So, good for him.
And kudos to the Dallas Cowboys for...
What? Run the ball!
Yes. Javonte Williams is probably like, holy cow! I'm getting to run the football more?
I didn't know it felt like this to run in the NFL.
I didn't know you could actually run the ball that much in a football game. Javonte Williams last night, how many carries did he have in this game? I mean, you just love to see it. And they were using him a lot in a lot of different ways. And that was good. A lot of texters coming in here. Texter from the 970. Yeah, Williams had 20 carries for 85 yards. Yeah, that's the ticket. Can we see that from J.K. Dobbins tonight? 20 plus carries.
Can we see 20 plus
for
runs
anybody?
From the entire team?
Yeah, that'd be great. 970 says, missed the first hour. How did the youngin' do on Thursday? Yeah, we had the tonsillectomy on Thursday. Man. He's doing all right. It's a lot for him to process. There's pain and all that going on. It's not a fun experience, but, you know, he's doing okay. I'm everything you Google is like, yeah, day five after the surgery is usually one of the worst. Day five through like seven. Well, today is day five, so I'm actually going to head home after the show today. And just be around, because the kiddo, yeah. But the surgery went fine. Everything went great. Apparently, did you know, Mike, a tonsillectomy only takes like 10 minutes? Like, the whole process was, we were there for like 5 hours. But the actual surgery, we got there at 7:30. We didn't get out of there till, well, maybe it's not 4. Yeah, it was like 10:30 when we got out of there. But the surgery itself is like 10 minutes. So we had to sit there from 7:30 to 8:30. 8:30 was the scheduled surgery, and then you got to wait after the surgery for, like, they want you to stick around for like 2 hours just to make sure, you know, breathing is okay, all that stuff is fine. But man, that week, it's just, when your kid has to go for something like that, it's way different than when you have to go through it. It's just it's so hard. It's a very difficult thing.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I know a woman, or at least I used to know her. She had no problems with needles until her kids had to get needles, and then she would just, like, freak out.
It's tough. It's a different thing. Texter here from Big Hub. let's see. Fourth and one. Let's talk about Bobo and the dogs. Yeah, look, Mike Bobo. Dude, Jay Norvell's making Mike Bobo look like a sultan of football. Fourth and one, and uses the third string running back on what? Was that the game last night? Texture from 970. Broncos Bengals played four times on Monday night. John Fort Fun. Warren Schaefer was 36-86 under his tutelage. Yeah, that's not good. Do you give him a break because he's a rook kind of manager type of situation, or no? Just too bad. Honestly, I don't know. I don't have that much energy on it. Is it going to matter? Maybe it will. But you would imagine they're going to clean house. Texter from Eastside, Chris. Brady, will Philadelphia have the best passing yardage stat this year? Philly's offense is really good. They beat Tampa Bay in a battle of undefeated teams. They won 31-25. And you got, like, Nick Sirianni talking a little trash to Baker Mayfield. Dude, sign me up for that. Sirianni's a different cat, Mike. I like different cats. I like Dan Campbell. I like Sirianni. I just like something that's different. But Jalen Hurts, like, passing? The best? I would not say so. I mean, they were running the ball. Okay. But they are also getting extra, getting help, you know, defensively getting an interception. Special teams has bailed them out a lot this year. Didn't they have a blocked punt in this game? I mean, this is a complete football team. It's going to be very difficult for the Broncos, Michael. That's going to be that's why tonight is so freaking important. Because you play Denver they play Denver next week. So you got to win. You got to beat Cincinnati. You cannot go into that's at Philadelphia. You cannot go into that game at 1-3. You just can't do it. Can't do it.
Eagles fans are going to be disappointed when the Broncos win.
Of course they'll win. There's no reason why they wouldn't beat the undefeated Super Bowl, defending Super Bowl champions. No reason. But a big one tonight against the Bengals. I mean, this is just one of those games. If you lose this game, Mike, if they lose this game, suddenly are we having weird conversations about Sean Payton? Are we starting to get to that point where it's like, maybe this Sean Payton thing's not working out?
I mean, we've been having weird conversations about Sean Payton since, you know, the beginning of preseason.
Yeah.
Once when the offense started looking bad, people were like, what's going on with the offense? Sean Payton, are you the answer?
Broncos are 7.5-point favorites tonight at home against the Bengals.
Down.
What was it before?
I heard it was 8.
Well, ESPN has it at 7.5. So that's do with that what you will. They should cover that. They should. So we'll get into some of that a little bit later. Mark Johnson's going to join us, too. The Buffs lost to BYU over the weekend. That was a really good game, too, but also another coaching flub kind of thing. I thought you should have called a timeout on that final drive, and I want to get into that because the play right at where I thought you should have called a timeout, the very next play, you rush to the line, and then you end up throwing an interception. So we'll get to that coming up. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Preps to college to the pros. We have your football on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, a former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Breaking news here on this Monday afternoon. Jay Norvell just spoke to media members in his weekly press conference, and he is making a change to the offense for Colorado State. He's naming Matt Mumme as the play caller. Matt Mumme will now take over duties of calling plays on offense, and that will begin on Friday night when the Rams take on Santiago State. Friday Night Football, Mike. Matt Mumme. I like Matt Mumme.
And if the offense continues to be dead under Mumme, then you know you have a real problem.
Are you proud of that one?
That
to be kind of your thing there? That when you're good? I knew a Mumme joke was coming. I was just kind of disappointed with where you went there. You had a lot of different avenues to go.
Get the game wrapped up.
See, that would have been better.
Yeah, but you can't do that until the game's over.
Can he wrap up a win? Can Matt Mumme wrap up a win?
Okay, here we go.
Okay. Yeah, this is good. His title, Mummy's title was elevated over the offseason to pass game coordinator, and we all kind of thought, okay, does that mean he's going to be the play caller? But Bill Best was also elevated to the run game coordinator, and I thought that was interesting. What does that mean? One is coordinating the run and one is coordinating the pass, and then they coordinate to then Jay Norvell coordinates between the two decisions. That was strange. It was interesting to me. But this, I think, is a shot. It's a shot, Mike. It's something. Because you just can't. You can't keep going down the same path over and over again and hoping for a different result. Isn't that the definition of insanity?
Yeah.
I don't know if it will work. I don't know if they have the dogs. I don't know. But it's something. And it does feel like a must-win situation for Jay Norvell and company. Because now you're in conference play. Now you start conference play, and your non-conference schedule was 1-3. And the one win, Mike, you're not even giving them credit for. It was against the UNC Bears on a catch or no catch, or was it a catch? Maybe it was a catch.
It's an asterisk. They should not have won that game. That makes me, oh, damn it, Brady, I'm mad again.
If they would have actually lost the game, then they would be 0-4 going into conference play.
And would Matt Mummy be the head coach right now?
See, that one's interesting to me. Matt Mummy, from what I know, and Jay Norvell are pretty good, like pretty tight. And Mummy's kind of followed Jay Norvell around in his career. So if they fire Jay Norvell and they hey, Mummy, you're going to be the guy, and then they give him the job, and then Jay's like, let's say that they still struggle, and then they move on from Matt Mummy. How's that relationship? Is that still good? Does Mummy still follow Jay wherever he might go, if he goes anywhere at the end of the season? So I don't know, but I'm rooting for Matt Mummy. You know, we've had him on the show a few times, and I think he's fascinating. He's fun to listen to. He's very knowledgeable. He's the son of Air Raid. His dad, Hal Mummy. So let's go. Let's see what they've got.
Do they play Oregon State this year?
No, they played Washington State.
Okay. Because I was going to say, if they played Oregon State, that would be interesting. Mummies have a thing about their organs.
Interesting. 31 minutes after the hour, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffalo, is going to try to save us from whatever that was. Let's talk about the Buffs and their loss to BYU over the weekend. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
Man, after, you know, that start for the Buffs against BYU, I thought, hey, here we go. The Colorado Buffaloes might just run away with this thing. Slowed down significantly after the first quarter. Ended up losing to BYU 24-21. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining me. Mark, that was a great game. It was an exciting finish there, and I really thought the Buffs might have it in them to drive down there and maybe win this thing or at least tie it.
Yeah, no, it was a great college football game to watch. The atmosphere is fantastic. It was a great college football game to broadcast. You know, I was at an event yesterday. A bunch of fans were coming up and talking to me, and I said, you know, we led at the end of the first quarter, the second quarter, the third quarter, but the only one that counts is leading at the end of the fourth quarter, and we're 3 points down after that. You know, it's funny how perceptions get skewed, you know, because the Buffs come out first two possessions, bing, bing, touchdown, touchdown, 14-0. And people all of a sudden go, well, they should be doing that the entire game. That's impossible. That's not going to happen, okay? That would be an extreme rarity if you see something like that happen where somebody – I guess last year I was just thinking last year against Oklahoma State, Buffs won 52-0. That's the exception, not the rule. Right, big boy college football or NFL football, you might come out, you might catch them on their heels a little bit, and you have a couple of great possessions, you might go up 14-0 like they did, But then, you know, all those other guys on scholarship on the other side of the field, all those coaches that are making hundreds of thousands of dollars, they all react and change, and you know, then you know, things become very different. So you're not going to have a game where someone's going to keep rolling. I thought that was going to be a back-and-forth game. You know, people were talking beforehand like BYU was going to roll over Colorado. I didn't see that at all. I thought it was going to be a heck of a game. Now, for me, what the frustrating part about this is, and Prime talked about this after the game, there were some major missed opportunities. Now, that's going to happen on occasion. You're not going to hit every one of them like I'm talking about. But you've got to be consistent in taking advantage when things open up. You know, take, for example, and I know it's getting skewered right now and on social media, on the play with about, 12 and a half minutes left or so in the fourth quarter, when BYU had just taken the lead, the Buffs are looking at a, I think it was a 3rd-and-3, if I remember correctly, from somewhere up near midfield. Caden Salter takes a 22-yard sack.
Mm.
There was two guys wide open about 6 yards deep on that play. Smack wide open, right over the middle. They ran a crossing pattern. Two guys, I think it was, if I remember correctly, it was Joseph Williams and Sincere Brown, were smack wide open. Those are plays you have to make. And that's what Prime's talking about when he talks about missed opportunities and not executing properly. That's exactly what he's getting at.
What do you make of Caden Salter at this point, Mark? Because when I watch him, like he's highly entertaining. When he's running around, like it's my favorite style of football to see a running quarterback. But then you take those big sacks, you're not hitting open guys, and of course the pick to end the game, you know, pressure's on there. But what do you make so far of his performance with the Buffs?
Inconsistent.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the story of it. There are times you are wowed by what he does, and then there are times, you know, like that 20. For example, let's just look at that 22-yard sack. Okay, well, how did that affect the game right there? It's 24-21. That's what the score ended up. And a senior quarterback takes a snap, misses two wide-open receivers. Now, how does he miss those two wide-open receivers? Well, guys, the one thing you got to understand about football is the way that pocket works. You make your drop, your tackles send those defensive ends around the outside, and they run them about 7 yards deep, and then everything's supposed to be holding up in front. And by the way, this offensive line is playing very well. I saw this morning Pro Football Focus said they're one of the top in terms of their grading that they've got. It's like one of the top 10 offensive lines in the country. Their protection is good. This is not a problem with that pocket collapsing on Caden Salter. So when those tackles go by with those defensive ends, then what you look at, you know, look at Patrick Mahomes or Brady or Elway or, you know, all of them. Just go down the line. Peyton Manning, you move up in the pocket. The tackles go by you. Now that gives you extra time to identify. You make the play, or in his case, you find the gap and then you run out. Right? That's what's supposed to happen. So what he did, he bailed early. He didn't have to bail that pocket. It was not collapsing in front of him. The tackles were going by him with the defensive ends. If you look, there's some still photos out there. It's a perfect pocket for him. Step up into it. You try and make the play. Well, what he did, he bailed early, went outside, and he's getting chased then. Then he circled back around, and he got chased and chased and chased. So you miss the open receiver, convert a 3rd-and-3, keep a drive alive when they've just taken the lead. And what you do, you give up 22 yards. So now, even if you don't convert that 3rd down, let's say the receiver drops the ball. Okay, that's on the receiver. Now, you don't convert the 3rd down, but you're punting with one of the better punters in the country, Damon Greaves, from somewhere around the 42-yard line or something. And the way he's punting, he's going to drop that inside the 10-yard line, right? Worst-case scenario, comes out to the 20. But what you do, you run back, get sacked inside the 10. He's punting from the end line. Now you punt it. From the goal line, rather. Now you punt it out to about the 42 or 43 yard line. They get a decent return into plus territory. The entire game changes. And so these are the little execution things that Prime's talking about right now. So you ask about Caden Salter. He's a talented kid, and there are things I just love. But, boy, the inconsistency has got to stop. You can't make those kind of mistakes. Even if you're going to give ground, boy, you don't go back 22 yards. Finally, at some point, you realize, I can't get out of this. Boom, go down, lose 7 yards, and still flip the field on them and put them way back inside the 10-yard line. And so that's how games are affected greatly with inconsistency.
Do you now? And I know he spoke about this a little bit, Caden Salter, but do you think the benching, you know, he's talked maybe messed with him a little bit?
No.
You and I talked about this like a couple weeks ago. I thought it was good. Like, hey, this might have motivated him.
That's an excuse, not a reason.
Yeah.
Okay, it didn't seem to affect him last week.
Right. Right.
And so you can't go back then. You know, I had success. I'm feeling good. Look, I was great. I didn't enjoy it. Been going through some tough times, but, you know, I played well. Next week, make mistakes. You know, it's because of the benching. No. That's like I said, those are excuses, not reasons. And guess what? You had been anointed the quarterback. Okay, the job's yours. It's your job, right? You were great last week. Evan was singing your praises. All of a sudden, this week, it's not the benching now. So no, I don't buy into that.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of that. And that kind of goes to, you know, our discussion last week about the leadership thing.
Right.
That's a tough one. Mark, right before the interception, clock's running down. Do you think Coach Prime should have called a timeout there?
Oh, you certainly could have. I mean, you know, listen, that's the stuff when I sit up next to Gary at different times. In fact, I think at one point Gary actually said in the broadcast, if I recall, he said, "I think I'd take a timeout right now." So yeah, but again, when you get down to these kind of things at the very end, and you go, "Yeah, you could have saved 7 seconds there," or whatever it turns out to be, you're talking about things on the back end of executions that shouldn't have put you in that position anyway. So everything has to be attended to, and, you know, those are things that I don't go back. I guarantee you that offensive staff will go back and say, you know, we probably should have called a timeout here. We could have called one there. All those kind of things. That's what they do. And, you know, that's just not a Coach Prime thing either. That's a Pat Shurmur thing. That's the other offensive coaches. They're all those guys are chiming in those circumstances. Now, Prime's the one that's got to ultimately make that. But, you know, to me, that's the story after the story. That's not the story to me.
Yeah. Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. What do you make of this team so far, Mark? Because even just that game can tell you kind of the full story. Like, they're capable. They're capable of doing some good things against some pretty solid football teams. But then suddenly they hit a wall there. What is your kind of take away right now at this stage on the Buffaloes?
Well, look at two of their three losses. All right, think about their three losses. Has any one of the teams that beat them suffered a loss at this point? Now, Houston's 4-0.
And Georgia Tech won.
Georgia Tech's undefeated. Yeah. BYU's undefeated. They're playing quality football teams,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
I think Georgia Tech, I saw somebody, one of the national guys, put out their schedule last week and said, okay, when's the first time Georgia Tech loses? And I know they had to come back last week, but they might run the table.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a really good football team. I think BYU's a really good football team. So you're going out and competing. Now, they didn't show very well, obviously, Houston. All right, so that's kind of the outlier here. But in my view, I look and say, okay, you went nose-to-nose with two really good football teams that are probably going to win 9, 10, 11 games, somewhere in that range. And you're playing with them and into a one-possession game in the last, you know, waning moments of a contest. Okay, that's a pretty solid football team. But they're not making plays. They're not making the plays they need to consistently to win those ball games. You know what? I thought it was a very pointed comment that Prime made after the game when he said the moment being too big. And, you know, I said on our little television wrap-up, I said, that's coming from a guy who never saw a moment that was too big, right? I mean, he loved those moments. And Shadur loved those moments. And Travis loved those moments. And Jimmy loved those moments. And all those guys that made big plays in those circumstances. That's what great players do. And so right now this team, I think you're seeing improvement. I thought we saw improvement defensively. They, you know, I thought their quarterback, Bear Bachmeier, played exceptionally well the other day. Listen, going into this ball game, what do we all think? We thought BYU was going to be more physical than Colorado. We thought they were going to come in. They were averaging 266 yards rushing a game. We thought they're going to come in. They're going to feed L.J. Martin. They're going to run this right down Colorado's throat all game long. Is Colorado capable of stiffening up and not allowing that to happen? Well, that's not what BYU did. In fact, when they ran the running back, they really didn't have much success. Now, the quarterback got them, you know, and they had some stuff around the edges, you know, so Buffs would lose containment out there. But I thought we saw some pretty good things defensively. I thought the defensive front played relatively well. I thought the offensive line continues to impress, I think getting better and better and better. And so there's a lot I take from this and say, you know, this is not a bad football team. I think it's a pretty good football team, but you've got to make plays in key moments. That's how you win games, because the other team's trying really hard and getting paid a lot of money as well.
Mark, coming up, you got TCU. That was a great game between TCU and Arizona State. Got a chance to watch most of that one. That was an excellent game. But another big opportunity for the Buffaloes to get back in business here in this conference.
Well, this stretches. I mean, you got four straight weeks of teams that you know have been ranked here recently, or are. I'm assuming TCU because they lost to Arizona State, probably fell out. They were ranked 24th.
Yeah.
But you know, every one of these next four teams is ranked, and TCU, I mean, is a physical football team. So that's an old, you know, slobber knocker kind of game they got coming up, you know, this weekend. And you got to go on the road, and so you know it's the Big 12, it's a power conference, right? I mean, every week, just get ready for it. You play something good. I don't care who you're playing; it's going to be a good football team. You know, we don't see Oklahoma State this season. You know, they're just firing coaches every left and right,
yeah.
Like crazy.
Yes, so, they are.
You know, we're not going to see them get better on their misfortune at this point. Everyone's going to be a good football team. So yeah, get ready. What we saw against Georgia Tech, what we saw against BYU, it's going to be a similar type deal this weekend against TCU. It's going to be a strong football team, a physical football team. It's going to be one that's got some skilled guys on it. So, yeah, get ready. I mean, it's part of the deal. This is what you sign up for. And you know, the Buffs, you know, that close but no cigar thing doesn't count a whole lot. And so you can keep getting close, but if the W's not there, everyone gets very angry and you know, starts yelling and dog cussing on social media and all the things that happen.
Mark, always appreciate your insight, my friend. Looking forward to this one. Let's see if the Buffs can get back on the right track against TCU this weekend.
All right, buddy. Take care.
All right, man. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. 12:49 the time. Let's wrap up here. And then coming up, start of the final hour, Kevin Lytle from the Colorado. We just got big news. Coach Jay Norvell is turning over play calling duties to Matt Mummy. What does that mean? Is that going to work? We'll talk about it.
What's happening in your community? Greeley, Loveland, and Fort Collins, Good Morning NoCo is on it. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to The Whole Show on KFK.
All right, coming up, we got Kevin Lytle joining us at the top of the hour after Jay Norvell made the decision to allow Matt Mummy to call the plays going forward, starting on Friday night against the Aztecs. Lytle, whole show, coming up next.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.